Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Folks, we continue to monitor what's going on in the Louisiana legislature, and here to join us to talk about is the president of the Louisiana State Senate, Cameron Henry. Cameron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, how you doing, buddy?
Cameron, a lot of talk about insurance bills, but before we get there, let's start out with the state budget and whether or not there's any hiccups or any hurdles that you're seeing that could be an issue or could be something that you're going to have to pay a lot of attention to in order to resolve?
We're sitting pretty good right now. I mean, our issue really was trying to get some more reoccurring money in the state budget, which is what the amendments are for, but those didn't pass, so we'll move on from those. My biggest concern in the budget right now are the changes taking place in Washington. The Medicaid funding, the cuts at the federal government, and how that's going to adversely affect our state hospitals, which in turn becomes a state problem. When they're adjusting budgets and reducing services or whatever their strategy is up there right now, which I can't seem to really get a grip on, when they're reducing funding to hospital systems, that in turn puts that pressure on the state. The need for the service doesn't go away. It's just the hospitals aren't going to pay for it, or those programs aren't going to pay for it. Now that rolls to the state. So that's really what I'm looking at. So we're going to really monitor and control the amount of reoccurring revenue that we use in the state for new programs. So we're going to really limit that this year to where we have a better understanding by next year of the effects of what the federal government or whatever they do within the next 3 to 6 months as it relates to this project of the bill that they're working on in D.C. right now. That's the biggest concern budget-wise to me right now. That's my biggest concern.
Let me ask you, in a broad sense, there's been policy considerations being debated in D.C. as it relates to the federal-state collaborative Medicaid system. The other day, there were a series of articles of Republican Congress folks that want to get back to states having more skin in the game, maybe as much as 30% or as high as 40% of the Medicaid cost. I don't know if you've looked at it at this granular level, but I'm curious, can our state actually afford that?
No. We could possibly do it over maybe a 7 to 10 year period. But we have obviously significant number of individuals who require those services. And when you look at a breakdown of members of Congress by their congressional districts of the percentage of individuals who use those services, our congressmen, specifically the ones that are in leadership, are up in the most of our congressional district is in the top 10. So I would hope their eyes would be open to that. Any changes they make in D.C. really need to be over about a 7 year period to where we can ease ourselves off of it. And I appreciate the fact that they want to pass the president's tax cuts. I get that. Not saying they don't want to move forward with that. But that if that's the goal, but you decimate everything in between, I think we need to find a better balance there. I'm hoping our delegation members are doing that. I'm providing them information on a very monitored and about a weekly basis of information I'm sending them of the effects that the changes they make will have on the state, not necessarily in the hospital system, because it is going to adversely affect the hospital systems. But that responsibility then passes on to us, to the taxpayers in Louisiana. So that's really what I'm working through. But the changes that they're making, we really need a long runway to be able to implement them in a responsible manner.
And then there's a possibility that, I guess, you tell me, because, you know, you sit in leadership of the Senate, can you respond fast enough if these things come towards the end of the session, or would it require a special session?
Well, no, we can't respond. That's why we're really pushing to limit the amount of new programs we institute in Louisiana because of that. Right. Remember, most states – Most states go into session January 1st. So most they will have the ability to adapt by the time this is done. We'll be finished session. So we're thinking about giving the legislature or the administration some flexibility while we're not in session to adjust where they need to adjust. Only for this year, only for the fiscal year starting July 1st.
July 1st.
July 1st to put some language in there so we don't have to come back for a special session should they push things out and one of them implemented immediately. There's got to be a balance there with that as well, because you don't want to give the governor all the authority in the world to change the budget every way humanly possible just because we're not in session. So again, we have to work through that. Once we have to work through that puzzle as well, but everybody's on the same page with that. It's just getting legally what we can do, what the Constitution allows us to do, while simultaneously working on a budget that is responsible as well as all the other issues that we're doing in Baton Rouge. So we're having a busy session, but everything seems to be moving smoothly. And for the most part, everybody's getting along as well as we do at this stage in session.
Absolutely, especially considering that everyone's arms have to be tired with juggling all these balls. The regular balls that y'all juggle, but now you got the federal government throwing them in as well, right?
Yes, I obviously understand the state budget much better than anything that goes on in D.C., so I'm trying to educate myself on their processes. Their processes are very unique, to say it pleasantly. So
to be very kind.
It is impossible to understand how their processes work and who's drafting what. But a lot of it falls on the committee members, and then there's 12 appropriation subcommittees. I think the tax cuts touch 11 of those 12. The subcommittees on appropriations they have up there. Then they're trying to work with the Senate. Our senators are helping us. Cassidy and Kennedy are both being very responsive to the questions I have working through. But again, we're doing that while we're simultaneously working on our state budget. It's a lot, but look, it's not. I love the job. I love the position I have. So we're going to get it done right.
Let's pivot. A lot of folks curious about status of the teacher pay, obviously, with the failure of the constitutional amendments. This is in an area of uncertainty. Where are we?
Well, we're looking pretty good right now at the full pay raise, which would be the $2,000 for teachers, $1,000 for support workers. We're trying to figure the methodology we want to use to give them. It's going to be a stipend, not a pay raise. What we would like to be able to do is get the locals involved on participating in the pay raise. So the constitutional amendment that wasn't successful was going to allow for payment of retirement debt, and then the systems could use that retirement debt, the freeing up of that money that they would have used to pay for the debt, to give a teacher pay raise. Now, that doesn't account for every school. Some schools, like the charter schools in New Orleans, we would have to backfill that, which we're going to do. Some of our parishes that are financially struggling, we'll take care of them as well to give the teacher pay raise. But we're kind of looking at an example to use that moving forward, just for 1 year stipend of maybe paying some of the retirement debt that the locals have to pay that payment, and allowing them to give the pay raise. We're working out the structure of that, but there's a willingness in Baton Rouge to give a pay raise. That's the most important thing. Now it falls on us to find the methodology to do it and make sure we obviously can afford to do it. Being a stipend only for 1 year, you can use one-time money for that. But at a certain stage, if you do a stipend every year, it just becomes reoccurring, and we don't want to fall back into the jingle days of that. So we want to be responsible for that as well. But we do owe our teachers. So I'm, as of right now, pretty comfortable we're going to get something done. The methodology we use, we're still working on that, but I think we're in a good spot. We're in a better spot than when we started session, I can tell you that.
It sounds like that there's interest in creating a hybrid model, a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, and that's because we've got to get our local systems involved in helping with pay the teachers more. And this is, again, we don't want to just spring it on them and say, go do it. So if we can use some state revenue to pay down a payment that they would have to make to the retirement system, that in turn frees up local money to do it, which is what the constitutional amendment wanted to do. So this would kind of be an example of, hey, if the constitutional amendment would have passed, this is what it would have looked like. And maybe this would allow confidence moving forward should we bring that amendment back on the ballot for people to see how it would actually work. So it's, but I mean, from the perspective of a teacher, they want the 2,000 and the support workers want 1,000. We're moving in that direction now.
There's a House bill, I believe, that may be headed your way. I'm not certain if it passed the House. I think it was supposed to be on the calendar yesterday. I'm not sure they took it up on the homestead exemption bill increase to $125,000. Obviously, the state does not charge any property taxes. This totally impacts locals. What are you hearing?
Can you talk about the Royce Plessens bill, Senate Bill 235?
Yes, sir.
That didn't come up last on Thursday. It's on the agenda for this week.
Okay.
I don't know where we sit on it. It's one of those bills. Obviously, everybody would like to allow. You know, everybody wants everyone to pay less. I get that. We can appreciate that.
Yeah.
We need to see what the impact would be on local parishes, and we haven't really heard much from it. To be honest with you, I'll probably reach out to. I'll reach out to Assessor Capella today, tomorrow, on that. I don't know whether the votes are there yet. I believe it requires. I think he's still working through the votes on that. Let's put it that way. If he would have had the votes, I think he would have brought it up on Thursday. We had a little bit of a lighthouse. Some members. We're getting close to graduation season. We also had some first communions, but it does have a decrease. It will have an effect, and we got to kind of play with those numbers a little bit more before we move forward with that bill.
Yeah, local government would be significantly impacted, and when you're as high as you are on the state on the sales tax side of both local and state, it exacerbates the problem even more, for sure.
It's one of those bills that sometimes those bills are hard to vote against, though, as well, right?
Yeah, so I get it.
You haven't been in that role, but you've been in another one where sometimes it might not be best for local government, it's if all your constituents are calling and, you know, they're the ones elected, you got to move with that.
Right. No, I get it. It's one of those difficult issues. The math's not going to work very well for local government. That I know for certain.
No. And it does. I mean, the fiscal note now says the bill is anticipated to decrease the state general revenue by a potential hundreds of millions of dollars. That's what the fiscal note says on that bill right now.
Yeah.
So we'll have to look through that one again.
Let's get to insurance, and we'll finish up there. I know a lot of these insurance bills have been pretty much flying through committee and on the floor, with some getting unanimous votes.
Yeah, you know, we're going to move on some bills dealing with insurance. I know Jude A. has some bills this week. Insurance has some bills, and I think even Senate Governmental has a bill dealing with insurance, the insurance commissioner. I think all those bills will probably move this week. On the insurance, on the auto side, we're going to try to pass a bill, one bill on each subject matter, so you don't have four or five bills in the same subject matter floating out there. You want to make sure all the bills complement each other, but they also don't contradict each other. And that would obviously give means for a veto, and we definitely don't want to do that. None of the bills we passed will guarantee to lower auto insurance, which is the most disappointing part of it all. As with homeowners insurance, we passed some bills on that, and homeowners insurance still hasn't gone down. The industry says we have to give them everything they want and then wait. And obviously you can appreciate, as I can, the lack of patience on that. But we're going to work with industry. We also want to be cognizant of we have a lot of hurricanes here. And obviously when someone gets in a wreck, they expect the policies that they've paid for to take care of them. So we can't cede all that authority to the insurance industry. They would prefer to pay the least amount. Obviously, we have the lawyers on the other side that would like everyone to pay the most. And in the middle is the actual victim, whether it's the home or their home getting destroyed or they're getting an actual wreck when they're actually injured. So we're going to find a balance somewhere in there. It's not easy. Both of those subject matters, as I believe you went to law school, the more I learn about insurance, the more confused I get. And the more I learn about court law, the more confused I get. So that's why I didn't go to law school and went to MBA school instead. But we are working. Both sides are working very diligently, having some spirited conversations. But I think we're going to get somewhere further than we did last session. And we're going to look, as soon as we pass them, we're going to begin to monitor the insurance industry to figure out whether they're going to help us out with, like they're telling us, they keep telling us they're going to do it. We haven't seen anything yet, but we're going to have a little bit of a leap of faith this year and see if we can get some low insurance rates in the next couple of years.
I don't know that it matters what level of education you have or what area of education you have. There's two areas that I think are completely counterintuitive: healthcare and insurance.
Yes.
And the moment you figure out either one of those, quit and start consulting.
As you figure it out, it's changing. Yes. As soon as you figure out, it changes somewhere down the line. So, look, Newell, I appreciate being on the show, my friend. Anytime you need me, give me a call.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You have a great Mother's Day weekend, and best of luck for the remainder of this session. That is Cameron Henry, president of the Louisiana State Senate. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.